Hi, my name is Charles, and I serve here at Transformation Church as one of the executive pastors. And I want to take a moment before we jump into the message just to say thank you, first of all, for watching. It means the world to us that you would be a part, no matter where you're watching from, no matter who you are. I'm believing that this message is going to encourage your faith and hopefully transform your life. If you haven't yet, make sure you take a moment, subscribe to the YouTube channel, not for us, but really for you. We want to be a resource to encourage your faith and be with you on this journey of following Jesus. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the message today. I hope it blesses you.
Today, we are starting a brand new series entitled Damage, But Not Destroyed. And every time God allows me to release a book, he tells me to do something very specific. He says, I want you to preach the book without preaching the book. I say, what? He said, do not use any of the content I outlined in the book. I want to give you fresh manna so that when they go to the book, they'll see it was me that was talking to them, not you. So this book has got content in it that God has worked in me over the past 5 years. But this message is fresh off the press. The Holy Spirit has been bothering me about you for 2 weeks. So if you're ready to go on this journey, I'm telling you, for the next, probably the rest of the year, I don't want to lie to you, we might be dealing with our damage at Christmas. Because what better gift would it be than to actually be healed this Christmas? Not covering up with Louis and Gucci and Jordans. But what if it wasn't presents that were bought, but it was your presence being healed? We're about to go on a journey. And I got to start right here by telling you that this series is going to be about, watch this, theology and therapy. Like, when we come in here, I know in church circles, this doesn't get used a lot, but I want you to know we believe fully in theology and in therapy. Me and Pastor Natalie do it. Everybody on the executive team does it. This church believes that the catalyst happens at the altar. But all the crap you've been dealing with needs to be talked about. And I've already amen'd myself 1,000 times before I got here. So I don't need your amen today. Because the truth of the matter is, everybody wants to talk about seeing a victory. Everybody wants to talk about the triumph. Nobody wants to talk about the trauma. And the thing that disqualifies us more than not from our destiny is the damage that we've experienced and have not addressed. So during this series, we're going to address it all. I want to tell y'all a story. I want to tell you a story about the time I got stitches. Has anybody ever had stitches before? Like, you've had to get stitches. Okay. Mom and dad wanted me and my older brother Gabe to learn how to swim. And so they took us to this place called Big Splash in Tulsa. Now it has another name, but it will always be called Big Splash to me. And I was kind of tall. I was a little older than all the other kids learning to swim. And that's part of my passion here. Very soon, we're starting Black People Can Swim classes, because I'm going to have a pool, because we got to learn how to swim. So I was just a little older than all the other little baby white kids that were in the class. And so they took us to the shallow, I'm telling a real story, took us to the shallow end to learn how to swim. And they told us to go under, put our heads under. Well, when I went under to put my head under, I busted my chin. And literally it split right open. And all I remember is going to the instructor and be like, teacher, this hurts. And that woman's face was mortified. And within an hour, they had called my parents and I was in the doctor and I was getting stitches. I have stitches right here. You can't see it because of the dye that's on my beard. But if I take all this off, it would be right here. That was when I was maybe 7, 8. The next time, my mom said, I don't remember. Thanks, Mom. The next time I heard about stitches, I was in the 7th grade. And I saw a kid do something that was very wrong. And me being taught in school and by my parents to tell the truth, I was like, I'm about to go tell. And this kid got in front of me. He's like, oh, you ain't gonna tell? I was like, hold on, bro. Did you just not see the assault that just happened in front of both of us? He was like, snitches get stitches. I was like, I thought hurt people get stitches, huh? And then another guy came up and was like, yo, bro, we ain't see nothing. And I'm sitting here confused because it's like, we all just saw that. What do you mean? They were teaching me something that culture has embedded in the hearts and minds of a generation. That people who snitch get harmed so that they're gonna need stitches. And what they were trying to do was put fear in me of telling the truth. And may I submit to you that there are thousands of people under the sound of my voice right now that still subscribe to that demonic idea that the truth is somehow more harmful to you than what you are holding in. And wouldn't it be like the enemy to make you feel like the one thing God loves? He said, I love the truth. Even if it's hard, even if it sucks, even if it was unfair, I love the truth because in truth I can do something in that. But he has made a whole generation afraid to tell the truth. Because we believe deep down, even if we've never said it out loud, that snitches get stitches. Today I'm about to dismantle that demonic lie over your life. And I'm going to preach a message called snitches get stitches. Write it down. Pastor Mike, why are you doing this? Because the first instance when I got hurt, the stitches were there to help and heal. The second time I heard about it in seventh grade, it was to harm and hide. And many of us are doing things right now that are harmful to us and hiding the truth. It's been 37 years since you told anybody what happened that night. It was a family member who did what they did to you. Nobody knows that it was you who actually took the money. Nobody knows that you're really raising your sister's child. I'm talking about the real stuff that is so deep down on the inside of us that we even forget it happened to us. You've made so many lies about the damage that has happened to you that you have a hard time deciphering what is the truth and not. The reason why this is important is because your body is keeping the score. And a lot of the things that you think is hurting you, it's not that that's hurting you, it's the damage you won't bring to God. Our bodies were not meant to carry what many of us have been carrying. I can see it in your eyes, I can see it in your tone, I can see it in how you love people, and you can be 70 years old in here faking everybody out. The only person you cannot finesse is you. You've been finessing everybody else. Your job thinks you love it. And every day you walk out of that place, you feel miserable. Reason why this is important, and I feel like it went from a book to a burden. I feel people right now, y'all. It's because God doesn't want us to walk into another year limping, faking, and hiding. Either we gonna get healed, or we gonna leave this God thing alone. He's saying, I would rather you be hot or cold, But this lukewarm, like, act like you're healed and whole and, oh, praise God, sing another song. And then go home and trying to figure out how to commit suicide. And you isolating from all the people that you say you love. And you go from relationship to relationship getting the same person with different names. Let's actually heal. Now, church people say that, and they give you three notes and a poem, and then they send you on and be like, hopefully you healed. Not me. We're going to walk this out to the end of the year. You can literally sit in this room and not say nothing. Just be in the therapy session. You can be mad. You can be crying. You can be pissed. You can be writing cuss words in your journal. No, I'm talking about real healing. I'm talking about it's got to come up out of you. I'm talking about you not going to be able to hold it together. And I know this is making some of y'all inside shake, but God is interrupting your life to heal you right now. And this is the pathway to that healing. Why are you doing this series, Pastor Mike? Very easy. Freedom is the goal. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
Shout at me, freedom. One more time with faith.
Freedom.
Freedom is the goal. Truth is the path. Confession is the key. Healing is the result. Freedom is the goal. I'll prove it to you. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Indeed, that word means inaction. Continually. I get real scared when somebody says, I'm healed. Duh. I mean, like, done? Finished? Like, forever? We are healing, transforming, becoming. So freedom is the goal, but truth is the path. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free.
You cannot have freedom without truth. That's why you still bound. Freedom and truth are connected. So you can sing the song, but still be bound. Freedom is the goal. Truth is the path. Watch this. Confession is the key. Well, God knows my heart. He was there. He know what happened. Me and him talked in. It's good. Let me introduce you to James chapter 5, verse 6. Confess your sins to each other. Uh-oh. God dog it. Not to Travis. Because this is why I did a whole series on kingdom couples about right partners. Because part of what partners do is not just help you get the bag. They help you remove your bondage. Oh, my God. Y'all want people to help you make money. You need people to help you get free. And it says, confess your sins one to another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Freedom is the goal. Truth is the path. Confession is the key. Healing is the result. Pastor Mike, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to do this introductory message to get us ready for the hard work that God's about to take all of us through. God doesn't bless who you pretend to be. He blesses who you really are. Write it down. I'm coming back to this every week because some people are so puffed up right now that you think this message is for your neighbor. You've been sitting here for the first 15 minutes like, oh God, it's going to be great when DeMonte gets this. And God about to visit you. He doesn't bless who you pretend to be. He blesses who you really are. And so today I want to look at a man who didn't lie about where he really was. And I hope that somebody's faith would be encouraged to be able to be honest about where you are today. Not tomorrow, not where you hope to be, but where you are right now. John chapter 20, verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leader. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Now, I need everybody to see and get context about what's happening. Jesus has been taken, crucified, he resurrected. Everybody's like, Jesus not here no more, but where is he at? And for 40 days, he comes back to visit the earth, and then he just pop in the room. That's scary. Can we be honest? We be getting scared by people that's sitting right next to us. And if Jesus just walked through the wall and popped up, he said, peace be with you. Calm down, chill out. It's just your boy. He said he showed them the wounds in his hand and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, chill out, chill out, chill out. It's your boy. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive their sins, they are not forgiven. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, bro, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I don't care. I won't believe it unless I see the nails. And I see the things that he went through. I see the nail wounds in his hand. I put my hand in his side. Forget this. I'm glad you had a great experience and a great life. But I'm hurt right now that I wasn't here. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was like, bow, peace be with you. But he focused on one person. He said to Thomas, put your fingers here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Everybody gives Thomas a bad rap. Before I even read this actual scripture, I was introduced to him as doubting. Y'all knew that too? Most people have never seen his story, but they literally, don't be a doubting Thomas. I was like, that's disrespectful. This man had a moment, but it became his label. What if every moment we had became our label? Slutty Salar. Uh-oh. Woo, that was you. Stop it. I'm just doing what we do to Thomas. Lion Larry. Stealing Steven. Like, what if your moment defines your life? Divisive Danny. Toxic Timmy. Okay. I got so many going through my head right now. I have to focus. But they called him Doubting Thomas, but I honestly, as I was reading this and thinking about my own journey, he was Damaged Thomas. He had a moment where he missed something and it felt like he lost something. Has anybody ever had a moment where you missed something and it felt like you lost something? And instead of doing the churching thing like most of us would have done, the 12 disciples, we saw the Lord, really? How was it? Oh my God, I can feel the presence right now. He was honest. That sucks. I wasn't here. He couldn't have waited. And I walked with him. He's so powerful, he could have met me on the place I was at and then came and saw y'all. So forget it. I'm glad that all of y'all had an experience with God. I'm glad that all y'all grew up with both of your parents. Y'all want to be real? I'm glad that you got a scholarship to that college. But all of us are not that fortunate. Good for you. I'm glad that you weren't abused by a cousin. No. I'm happy for you. But it didn't happen for me. So if you want me to have the same enthusiasm that you have in this moment about God, I can't because I'm damaged. His doubt turned into damage. And this is the equation I need everybody to see. I'm going to walk you through this. Damage of the moment brings doubt. Doubt brings disconnection. It wasn't that Jesus was disconnected from him, but he was disconnected from Jesus. And I'm telling y'all, this is what happens in our life. We get damaged, we start doubting. We stop praying about stuff, and we get disconnected. And the disconnection makes you desperate. And people do dumb stuff when they're desperate. The damage ends in desperation. And when you go to anyone or anything outside of the source, it will lead to destruction. Why do many people end up at destruction? It didn't start at destruction. It started off as just a little damage. And that damage grew. And what I'm telling everybody right now is this is not ethereal. This is real. You've seen it 1,000 times that somebody was damaged in a relationship. And so they think all relationships can't work. What is love anyway? I guess it's not real. And they let one moment of damage make them disconnected, and that disconnection makes them desperate. So the same person telling them that love ain't really a thing is the same person sneaking from hotel room to hotel room because the desperation wants to make them feel something so bad that they do something dumb. And it ends their life up in a vicious cycle that then they just try to hide from everybody else. Using one example, but you can put your example in there. What I'm telling you is there's something you can do before you end up at destruction. God is not mad at your damage. He's not even mad that you disconnected. We're humans. What he wants you to do is when you get desperate, everybody watch this. I'm gonna say a cuss word. Be honest. And when people get desperate, they usually start faking. How many people have been going through something that nobody knew and somebody actually did ask you what was going on, but you did not feel safe or comfortable to tell them what was really going on? Let's be honest. Hey, I need high hands. What did we do? We lied to them. Let me use another word. We hid. And God can never heal what we won't reveal. I like Thomas because he does something the church doesn't talk about, but I believe it's the very thing that saved him. Instead of becoming somebody who faked it, when he got desperate, he was honest. Y'all can have that. Believe in him. But until I see the nail prints and until he lets me put my hand in his side, forget it. Thomas should not be doubting Thomas or just damaged Thomas. He should be honest Thomas. Can we give him a new name? Honest Thomas. He did what 95% of the church would never do. He told the truth. Oh, this series is going to be uncomfortable for some people. People are going to get up and walk out. People's booty cheeks is going to be tight because I'm coming to your house. The reason I'm telling you this is because most church messages are to make you feel happy about where you're at, not agitate you out of complacency. I do not want you to stay the same. By faith, I am moving you out of the paralyzed place you've been in purpose into a place that's going to deal with your damage, and it's going to push you into your destiny. I feel. But I can't just cliche you to death. We got to deal with some stuff. So when I looked at Thomas's life, I said, I'll never call him Doubting Thomas again. I'm gonna call him Honest Thomas. Because I believe it was his honesty that drew Jesus back to him. Okay, y'all not ready for that yet. Write this down. This tells us something. Remember, Thomas was a disciple. He wasn't a fan of Jesus that was coming around casually every 6 weeks. He walked and talked and ate with him every day. So this tells me something that everybody in church needs to understand. Discipleship doesn't exclude you from damage. Being a disciple does not exclude you. He's coming to the just and the unjust. When damage hit my house, I was the pastor. When we found out that MJ was diagnosed with autism, that wasn't like, oh, that's for the people who don't serve and don't pray and don't know. Damage is going to visit everybody. But today, all I'm asking you to do is be honest about your damage. I got a roll. To be honest, it's going to take, I'm gonna give you 4 points, because this is just a setup. To be honest about your damage, it's going to take faith. You have to have faith to believe that God can deal with your damage. And most of y'all do not believe that God can deal with it. You think that your mess up is too good for the one who made you. But everything that my kids do to mess up my house, I'm the only one who can fix it. The reason this is difficult for many people is because there's no guarantee, if I'm going to be honest. I don't know if people will look at me the same. I don't know if I'm going to actually be able to have a reputation and a name. Can I tell you it don't matter? Because what you're suffering with right now, you were never meant to carry. Okay. Many people aren't this honest because they feel like they won't be accepted, covered, and they won't have value. Can I tell you that in your worst state, this is why I serve Jesus. In my worst state, I was accepted by God. And he sent people into my life to help cover me in that season. And my value never changed. Oh my gosh. I need to let somebody know that even if you're dealing with the hardest thing in your life, the value that God placed in you is still in you. But people think if I'm honest, they will only see me as my damage. This is why you haven't told what happened to you in sixth grade. This is why you won't tell them the website you go to and you delete the history every night. Oh, yo. This is why your spouse doesn't know you have a secret account. Because you're planning your exit all the time. Because nobody ever committed to you when you were younger. And you said it could never be this good. And so you've been setting up, you've been preparing for it to all fall apart for years. And nobody even knows. Oh, yeah. We know you quote scripture. But the only reason you quote scripture is to make other people feel low so you can feel better about yourself. You lord over everybody all of the religious practices you do, but you don't even have love in your heart for those people. And it goes back to a wound, a damaged spot, a messed up moment where you started to doubt. And God said, this next season's gonna take, everybody shout at me, faith. Don't have crazy faith for a house and not have crazy faith for your heart. Y'all missed the whole thing. We got the keys. The building don't matter if the person in the building is broken. What God wants to do is make sure that we heal what's there. So let's stop just yelling crazy faith for places we live. Let's use our crazy faith to rebuild the place that we can't escape. So if you're going to be honest, it's going to take, everybody say faith. Thomas was honest. And the second thing Thomas had was, watch this. If you're going to be honest, you're going to need these friends. Now, some of y'all are thinking about this the wrong way because you're going to need friends that can handle and deal with you in the tension of your transformation. My man is with the disciples who just had seen Jesus. They're throwing a praise party, and he comes in and is like, F y'all. I don't care. God is not good to me. Oh, God. If somebody came in here after our big praise party and got on the mic and said, all of y'all are fake, we would usually kick those people out. Boo! Get them out of here. They're trash. Thomas had friends fortified for his damaged season. Oh, God. How do we know this? Because 8 days later, the disciples were together again. He was still with them after he was honest. And my question is, will you make space for people to tell you what's really going on? And you don't cancel them. I don't. She's going through some things. I don't really mess with it. I'm not saying anything, but what I am saying is marriage. Ah. Can God trust you to hold the tension when you know your friend says, I don't believe in God? Well, the word told me to be, I cannot be yoked with some unequally yoked. I gotta get out of here. But the disciples still let Thomas hang around when he was honest that I don't believe like y'all right now. This is gonna challenge the church. Because you want everybody to get saved and be clean in the same day. It took you 34 years to walk in that level of delusion and crap. And now I'm supposed to be brand new and exactly a 2-hour worship experience? I've been smoking weed for 10 years. The taste of it is a part of my everyday life. And you want me, like, there's physical things I have to detox from, but I can't come? Okay, all right. The church wants to reach people until we start reaching people. And what I'm saying is, for you to be honest, you gotta have friends that have mastered the art of being with people who are not perfect. Can I say this to some other people? Because some people have been damaged and burned by a lot of people. And right now you're saying like, yeah, I hear you, Pastor Mike, but that ain't for me no more. Try people, try church, tried all this community stuff. Okay, the fact of being damaged by people doesn't exempt you from trying again. That's why I think about, I've done a lot of funerals in my day. You know what everybody wants to do at the end of their life? They want to get all the stuff they never said out of them. I mean, I've literally seen people on their deathbed and it's like, tell Susan to come here. Tell my loved ones to come here. Tell them I really do love you. I just never said it. I really do. I'm sorry, I didn't know how to express. They're trying to get up out of them what their body was never meant to carry. I got to keep moving. To be honest, it's going to take faith. To be honest, it's going to take friends. And to be honest, it's going to take, watch this, focus. And I need to be very clear about this because anything time we start dealing with trauma and all that other stuff, many people glorify the trauma. They glorify the pain. That's not what we're doing in this series. Watch this. We're going to acknowledge the pain, but focus on Jesus. Oh, that is way too good. Where am I going to focus? On Jesus. But I'm going to bring this pain to him. So this is not going to be a loathing, like, this is what happened to me. This is why I can't ever. And this is why. We are going to, everybody say, focus. We're going to focus on Jesus. But that means we have to acknowledge the pain. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured what it would take, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. During this series, all I'm going to ask you to do is focus on Jesus. It's going to be hard for some of us to walk back to some of the places where the hurt really happened. I'm being honest right now. Some of the things we're going to talk about is going to be triggering. This is not going to be the season where you just numb the pain. We're going to deal with it. If you don't want to heal, you may not want to tune in for the next 6 months. No, I want to be very clear with you. Nobody's going to force you to do anything, but you're going to be compelled. The Spirit of God is in this place. And he has anointed me to preach this gospel to you. And it's going to start doing something on the inside of you that's going to make marriages change. Legacies be restored. Things are going to change, but we cannot deal with the pain focusing on the pain. When you focus on the pain, it makes you want to get prescribed something. You want to no longer feel it. We're going to acknowledge the pain. I was abused. I was forgotten. I was never chosen. I was the abuser. I was the one that took advantage of them. I ruined all of those girls' lives. I only dress the way I dress so that people can give me a compliment because I don't believe I'm beautiful. I don't see my value. I could never do that because my father never affirmed me. I'm talking about real stuff. How do we go through this? Keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, who affirms us if nobody else does, who calls us his, who redeemed us by his blood. While we were yet sinners, he saved us. He died for us, and he still calls us royalty when we feel too damaged. To be honest, you're going to need faith. You're going to need friends. You're going to need focus, and I'm going to give you the last one. This is the kicker. To be honest, you're going to need to fall apart. And I need to apologize on behalf of the church because we've been a proponent of telling you to keep it together. Come to the altar. We're going to pray for you. It's over. Never again. You're walking out of the fire. You don't smell like what you've been through. We do all of these things. No, come on. And I'm not saying that there ain't some power in that, but like, it's like, hold on. I feel like I've been hit. You said I'm going to look like I ain't been through nothing. I look pretty hit. I look pretty jacked up. My marriage is hanging on by a thread. It's a new season. Feels kind of like the old one to me, Pastor. Come on, if we could really say what we want to say sometimes. We're walking in the victory. Barely walking. It's really kind of crawled in here. Matter of fact, was lowered by 4 friends. I didn't get in here on my own strength. It was people who saw how damaged I was that kept inviting me and kept sending me to sermons and kept holding me up and lowered me in front of Jesus. I don't even want to be here. But I didn't have enough strength to fight. Today, I want to give everybody that's viewing this message from God to you, I want to give you permission to fall apart. It's very difficult to heal while you're holding everything. This is why when you go into surgery, they don't let you bring anything. If you've ever had a surgery, especially where they have to cut on you, they tell you to take everything off. No matter if it's your favorite ring that your husband gave you in 1962 and it has, take it off. Because anything that comes in this area could potentially contaminate you while we're doing this type of surgery. Well, can I keep my clothes on? Butt naked. There is no surgery you can go in and have your sweats on and just pull your sweat up and be like, no, just right here, just cut it out. Vulnerable. Exposed. Because what's about to happen means that you can't keep it together. I need you to fall apart. Thomas was able to get his healing because he was allowed to fall apart. Not doubting Thomas, not just damaged Thomas. What's his name? Honest Thomas. He fell apart for 8 days. And then the Bible says that Jesus makes another stop on his tour to come to the same place. And he literally said, hey, y'all, it's me. And they're like, oh, shoot. And he calls the honest man by his name. Thomas. I know the other disciples were ready for a prophetic word, instructions, maybe a mandate to go do something. He was focused on Thomas because Thomas was honest. This what you needed, Thomas? Your honesty has drawn me back to you. This what you need, Thomas? No. Put it right there. I believe in this series and through the message of this book, Damaged But Not Destroyed, I have learned that the old adage is true. Snitches get stitches. Because if you're honest enough to snitch on where you're at right now, the great physician Jesus will be drawn to your infirmity and he will heal you. Jesus allowed his wounds to stay open so yours could be closed. Hear what I just said. Why would the resurrected Savior keep the body with the holes and the open wounds still in it? Why didn't he come with his glorified body to show us what we could have? He said, I'm going to take the penalty that the damage of this world put on you. I'll stay open. Thomas, put your hand right here. I intentionally didn't close it up so that you could bring me all your damage and yours would be healed. The question is, will you be honest? God doesn't bless who you pretend to be. He doesn't bless who you post to be. He doesn't bless who you project to be. God only blesses, heals, and stitches up who you really are. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was put upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He left his wounds open so that ours could close. Today, I want to start a revolution of snitches. People that aren't telling for the sake of getting somebody else in trouble. That may happen because there are consequences. But my goal is what I said at the beginning of this whole thing. Remember? Freedom is the goal. Truth is the path. Confession is the key. And healing is the result. How many people really want to be healed? So there's only one thing you have to do. Got to be honest. And I know there's some people in here, it's like, Pastor Mike, you don't understand what this means for my family. You don't understand what this means for my life. You don't understand what this means for my children. You don't understand. I don't, but he does. But if you think about the grace of God, the more honest I am, the more glory he gets. Because God's still using the dude that did the spit example. As a matter of fact, I put it in my book. I'll tell you the details. Because the more honest I am, the more glory he gets. Oh, you're talking about the same pastor that had car insurance fraud on his thing? Yeah. I'm going to show you my mugshot with the edge up and my collar shirt on. Because the more honest I am, the more glory he gets. Talking about the guy who is addicted to pornography, has 6 months of TCC education, has made mistakes over and over again, but gets up to still declare the glory of God. Oh, I get it. His strength is made perfect in my damage. Just want to tell you, you may feel damaged, but you're not destroyed. God can take you from trauma to triumph, and the value that he put in you is still in you. So the only question is, who's going to be honest? Today, I'm praying for the faith to be honest. It don't have to happen today. It don't have to like be like, this week, I'm... No. Everybody calm down. The Holy Spirit's about to guide us beautifully into the most transformative process of our lives. When you get this book, I'm going to help you. I'm going to share with you. I'm going to get... But if you just show up here every week, I'm going to be your coach. And we're going to walk this thing out systematically and let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. About a year and a half ago, as I was writing this book, I was taking a break and I was scrolling through Instagram, and I'm a musician at heart, and I saw this little clip of this girl singing this song that arrested my heart. And I was in the middle of like doing deep work in the therapy and theology, and she begins to sing this song about honesty that convicted me to a point where I said, I have to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And today, as an altar call, I don't want anybody to move or leave or go anywhere. I just want you to reflect and ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? And I asked this young lady to come sing this song. I believe it's going to minister to you the same way it's been ministering to me. I've listened to it a million times. And it just keeps reminding me, if I could bring my honesty to the designer, he could use my damage for destiny. Let this song minister to you.
Every time I walk out of the house, put on another face just to blend in with the crowd so nobody sees me. You would never believe me. I tell you that I'm whole, but I'm still healing. I tell you that I'm happy, but I'm grieving. Though I was a fighter, I'm still in the fire. But if I'm being honest, I'm not being honest. I'll give you roses, just hoping you don't see the weeds in my garden. If I'm being honest, I'm at my darkest. I'm sitting here waiting and praying for someone to show me what love is. I'm just being honest. Every time I'm past the hardest part, here comes another ghost just to pull me to the dark. Thought it was over. God, let this be over. 'Cause if I'm being honest, I'm not being honest. I'll give you roses, just hoping you don't see the weeds in my garden. If I'm being
that we can't make it on our own. And so I cry, Jesus, how I need you. Please don't let
me by.
Oh, I acknowledge that you are who I need. I cry,
Jesus,
only you can heal the broken part.
Please don't pass me by.
Oh, you are all I need, all I need, and I cry,
Jesus,
how I need you.
I need you.
Please don't
pass me by.
Oh, don't pass me, don't pass me by.
I believe in this season, God is healing every person that makes a decision today to be honest. If that's you, you're saying, I'm going to be honest about where I am and I want God to meet me right there. Would you stand all over this place in your home? Because I believe God is visiting people right now and he's going to tell you that everything that held you down, it's about to be gone.
Gone. Gone.
All of it.
Gone.
Come on, sing this thing. By faith. He's doing the work. Hey, depression, delusion, anxiety, it's going away. Oh, I feel the presence of God coming right now. Somebody just lift your hands. We're at the beginning, but we're believing it. What your mother did, what the cousins did. Hey, what you've been hiding, what's been holding you back. I feel the presence of God in this moment right now. The healer is here. To all the things in your past, say bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
Yeah. By faith at the beginning, just wave to it. Say
bye-bye-bye.
I'm no longer going to be in this place. I'm going to let God do something with my damage. Insecurities. Tell it. Kendall, just sing it one more time.
Hopefully don't see the weeds in my garden. If I'm being honest, I'm at my darkest. I'm sitting here waiting and praying for someone to show me what love is. Love is. Show me what 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 love is. Jesus, show me what love is. Just being honest. I'm just being
time. Amazing grace.
Job is to facilitate a moment where you and the Holy Spirit can have communication. God is here. And he's asking, will you be honest? I know we don't have enough room in this facility, but I just feel like there needs to be a faith step that happens today. If you know there's some things that you have not fully been honest about and you want God to see you make a step of faith, I need you to get down to this altar. I don't care where you're at. We can fill the aisles. If you're at home, if you're sitting, stand up. If you're in the bed, get on your knees. Like this is a moment of honesty right now. Don't let your pride and don't let your position and don't let what people think keep you from being honest right now. This is your moment. Come on up, make room. Today we're being honest. God, we're just being honest. Come on, somebody just lift that up by faith. We're just being honest right here. We're just being honest. Father, do something with our honesty. Take our broken pieces, Father. We're just being honest. Come on, people are still coming. Just lift your hands.
Just be honest.
Don't leave this moment that could change the legacy of your family. Come on, say.
Just be honest. Just be honest.
Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, change. Holy Spirit, deliver.
Just be honest.
For everybody that came here or even at your seat because of fear, but you want this moment, just lift your hands right now. At home, lift your hands. I feel breakthrough in this house right now. Not in some churchy revival way. I'm talking about real change. I'm talking about families being delivered, healed, and set free. Hands lifted all over this place. Father, right now, here we are. We're bringing our marriage, our baggage, our brokenness, our hurts, our anger, our rage. There's even a few people, I just can't move. There's some people that still need to make a faith step. You, like God's saying, I need you to admit even in this moment that you need me to come see you. We're gonna wait on you. There's no shame. Take over, God. Whoa, I feel the presence of God in this place, bro. He's healing you. He's delivering. He's changing right now. We will no longer hide behind the fear of truth. Take over, God. Father, deal with our damage. Oh my God. Holy Spirit, I can pray a prayer, but you're moving on hearts right now, Father. You're healing the inner child, Father God. You're doing work on the person, Father God, not that we see today, but the person who was damaged. Do what only you can do, God.
Whatever you want to do, reign over, woo, and take over.
Somebody say, whatever you want to do. Oh, I love you, God.
You
take me just as I am. But you love me too much to leave me that way. Father, I pray for your people. God, you told me not to act like a savior, point them to one. So today, Father God, I'm just as damaged. Here I am, Father God, in the position you've asked me to be in. And I want to lead your people to your feet, God. Today, Father, we're coming with all of our baggage, all of our brokenness, and all of our pieces. Father, things that we have kept hidden for years, things, Father, that have been dwelling on the inside of us, habits, Father, that even our closest loved ones don't know we have. Today, Father, we're bringing them to you, the designer, the creator, the God of peace, the one that is the healer. And God, today we're asking you to start a journey of healing on the inside of us. Thank you that you stayed open so we could close up our wounds, God. Father, today, as we pray, I thank you that there will be a supernatural infusion of peace that passes all understanding. Father, as we begin to think, well, what's going to happen and how are we going to do this? Father, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. And that every step of this process, you're going to lead and guide us into truth. Families are being mended by the decisions that are making right now. Pain that has ailed people for decades, Father, is subsiding as they are literally releasing Father, I thank you for the courage that it's going to take for us as a church to get really healed. But I thank you that, Father, you are not disgusted by our damage. It actually is the thing that draws you to us. Take over and reign over. Take over, God. We can't do this without you. Father, for everybody whose doubt has turned into disconnection at this moment, God, I am praying that today will be the first time that their faith is being reignited to a place of belief. Thank you, Lord. If you're in here and you are like Thomas, you stopped believing or you never believed, and today you want to give your life to Jesus, this is why our church exists. That you would be transforming Christ. I don't care where you're at right now, what alternate lifestyle you're living in. I don't care what they said. I don't care what drink you have. I don't care what you did last night. All I care is that you accept the free gift of salvation as you accept Jesus. And there's people in this room that have been disconnected from him. You've been playing church, but God wants a real relationship with you. You used to be white hot and now it's been super cold. God says, can we connect so I can walk you through this healing process? If you're watching online, on the count of three or in the room, I just want you to identify yourself. We all damaged. We all at this altar, we're all here. Why not today, with no guilt and no condemnation and no shame? Why don't we give our lives over to the one who can do so much more than we can? If you want to give your life to Christ, just lift your hand on one. You're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, hands are already going up. Your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, if you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I see you, my brother. I see you, my, oh, Transformation Church, I see you. But more than that, God sees you. Come on, all the way in the balcony, I see you. I see you. Hallelujah. Transformation Church, we're family. Nobody prays alone. Let's pray this together. Say, God, I'm damaged. I need you. Today, would you be my Lord and Savior? I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God the biggest praise of freedom? Oh, come on, right now. Faith has started to arise. Can we give God the biggest praise of freedom in this room? You may be damaged, but you are not destroyed. I feel the presence of God in this place, y'all. As we leave this place, altar workers are going to come up here and people are like, oh, I got to get out. Do not rush your healing. Don't jump off the table too quick. What I'm asking you to do after a surgery happens and the pain and the hurt of it all goes away, they give you a prescription and give you instructions of what to do after. The healing just started. Everybody say, the healing just started. It's going to take us another 10 weeks to fully be healed. I need you to come back here every week. And I need you to bring more damaged people with you. No. Well, they are there. No. They might be too damaged for you to help them. They're not too damaged for him to help them. And we're going to be honest. You may need to watch this message over two or three times and send it to people. Because there's a revolution that's going to rise. And we are going, I'm declaring by faith, Grayson, we are going from trauma to triumph. Does anybody believe that wherever you are right now, you don't got to be there by the end of the year? We are going from trauma to triumph. Can we thank this beautiful soul, Kendall, for coming and singing this up? I was thinking about inviting her back to conference and then maybe like, I'm just putting you on the spot, but my God, I'm just being honest. Does anybody just right now with nothing changed fully out there, does anybody feel better? Like something is beginning to well up on, there's hope when there's healing. You take the pain away, I know. You take the pain away. If you need prayer for anything, come to the altar. Because He'll take the pain away, I know. He'll take the pain away. I know we gotta go, but I believe that you're my healer, and I believe you are all I need, and I believe
you're my portion.
You're my portion.
Ooh, the healer is here.
I believe
more than
enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need.
You're more than enough for me.
More than enough for me.
If you need prayer, I just feel the presence of God. Somebody is about to get healed in this Transformation Nation. I love you. Thank you for going and getting the book this Tuesday, wherever books are sold. We about to heal. I love you. Oh, my God.
See, you're more than enough for me. More than enough for me.
Jesus, you're all I need.
Jesus, you're all I need.
More than enough for me.
More than enough for me.
The healer is here. The healer is here. He wants to meet you.
Jesus, you're all
right at your seat. You're more than enough for me, Lord.
Hey, I want to take a moment again before we jump off and say thank you. Our church is not built on one individual, but on the sacrifice of so many. And you being a part, it means the world. So thanks for watching the message. I also want to say thank you to the thousands of people around the world who are generous. It means the world. And we are able to represent, we're able to be generous and meet the needs of people because of your giving. If you haven't taken the step to give, trust me, there is no pressure at all. But if you feel led, you can text the word GIVE to 828282, or you can go online. When we partner together, God uses our generosity to make a difference. Again, if you haven't, take a moment to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And more than watching on YouTube, join us on Sundays. Every single Sunday we're here, 1045 CST AM. We would love to see you. And like we always say, go out and live a transformed life.